We want to think a little bit about fellowship tonight. We're going to do a little shorter lesson and then still have a little bit of time for our groups, Lord willing, although they'll both be a little shorter than normal. But we've been doing a study on the essentials for families, the essentials being those six elements that really are biblical priorities for individual Christians and for a church corporately. And our elders identified those to be kind of a spiritual checkup for us and our church. We're doing a conference series on those, and so we've been thinking about them in the context particularly of family. And so we've talked about things like worship and the priority that that is for us and how we can help shape our kids as they grow, worshiping with them in the home and engaging them in corporate worship with us. We've talked about evangelism and particularly the challenge of evangelizing children. We've talked about prayer and how to model that aspect of worship for our kids. And last week we began talking about service, and really the idea of fellowship and service are both related to a degree, I think, because of the focus on others that's required for that. And it's easy as parents, and we talked about this some last week, it's easy to become so focused on our own families or particularly our own children that we neglect some of the other priorities that God expects of us and really that we need in order to be healthy Christians. You know, with service, it's easy to be so focused on our kids and on caring for them and doing the things that they're involved with as they get older that we neglect opportunities to focus on others. And inadvertently, while we think we're teaching our kids, we're sacrificing for you. And sacrifice and loving others is what's the priority. What our kids are learning is that life's all about me. And so we need to model for our family a commitment to serve others outside of our family so our kids are learning that we're to love others and we're to be committed to using our gifts for the good of others. And fellowship, it's easy as well to focus on our family and the priority of family time, which is a good thing, but to the exclusion of time with the larger body of Christ. And so that's what we want to consider together tonight, thinking about fellowship. Let's start with just a brief definition of fellowship. Somebody tell me what the Greek word for fellowship is. It's one of probably three Greek words that you may know. What did you say, John? Yeah, you might have gone to a church or where I think I played basketball when I was in like fifth grade at a Koinonia center that a church had. That was their like fellowship center, and it was basically their basketball court building. But koinonia is the word that is translated fellowship. It's also translated as partnership or sharing together. It can be translated as communion. It's sharing in common. I'd like you to turn to 1 John chapter 1, which paints a picture of fellowship for us. You know, fellowship, the idea of fellowship is primarily used in the New Testament, that word, for our fellowship with God, our sharing in common through Christ or with Christ and through the Spirit. But we think of fellowship primarily as it relates to others, and that's not bad, but we have to understand that the reason why we should have fellowship with others, a partnership, a sharing in common with other believers, is because we first have fellowship with God. That's what John writes about in verse 3 of 1 John chapter 1. It says, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. What we know about Christ, we proclaim to you so that you too may have fellowship with us, so that you can share with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write that our joy may be made complete. In verse 5, he says, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So what I want you to see here is that fellowship with one another, with other Christians, is connected to fellowship with God through Christ and the gospel. And so, As I think I put a quote there on your handout from John MacArthur on this passage, he says, anybody in fellowship with Jesus Christ is also in fellowship with anybody else in fellowship with Jesus Christ. We share together because we're connected to Christ. Therefore, we are connected to all those who are connected to him. He says, this is our common ground. It's not social, economic, intellectual, cosmetic, or anything else superficial. Our common ground is that with that which is pulsing through the life of every Christian, the heartbeat of God. Our common ground is that we possess a common eternal life and are children of the same family. So fellowship is a sharing together because we are connected to Christ. You know, it's important to know that we have fellowship with God and we have fellowship with others. And yet then in Scripture, we're exhorted to live out that fellowship practically in our lives. But it's not optional. It's not that we can say, well, I don't really like those particular believers, and so I'm not going to fellowship with them. No, we have fellowship with Christ, and therefore we have fellowship with other believers, as John makes clear here. The emphasis in the New Testament, then, on fellowship is that we are to live that out practically. You know, we might talk with our kids about how they should treat their sisters in a certain way, being kind and gracious and compassionate. That doesn't mean that if they don't treat them that way, they're not sisters, does it? It's not like, hey, you're not a part of our family unless you do these certain things. No, they're in the family. Now they need to act like they are a part of that family. That's what we're thinking about. We have fellowship. We're in the family. We're connected to Christ. Now we need to live that way. And Scripture describes that in a variety of ways. You know, there's some descriptions of fellowship all throughout Scripture. Think of the metaphors that are used of the church. Things like the household of God in Ephesians chapter 2, part of God's family. God says, when I look at the church, and particularly a local church, I see a family. We're part of that family, or the body of Christ. What a powerful picture, isn't that? That each of us who are believers are a part of Christ's body. We're one body. We are connected to each other. It's a picture of the fellowship, of the sharing together that we experience. There's also verses then that practically demonstrate what this should look like. I want you to look at Hebrews 10, which is a key verse for us as we think about this. Hebrews 10, 24, a familiar verse likely to many of you, says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, gathering together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So practically, we are part of God's family. If we're a Christian, we're a part of the body. We are connected to each other. Therefore, we're to act like it, which means we should get together because we're connected to each other. We should gather, and we should gather for the purpose of stimulating one another to love and good deeds, to have a heart of love for God and others, to do good works for one another, and to encourage one another, particularly as he goes on, so that we're not drawn into sin. We see this in Acts chapter 2 with the early church, where it says that they were devoting themselves from the very earliest time when the church was established in Jerusalem. They were devoting themselves to certain things in chapter 2, verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, sharing together in common, being together and sharing, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. But I think a significant way we can understand what our sharing together, what our partnership, what our relationship to one another should look like is in all the different one another's in Scripture. Now, I probably would take the rest of my time if I read all those. If you do a search in Scripture of all the times that one another is used, and you pull out all the times that it's just kind of a descriptive word, but you look at all the different things we are to be doing to one another. It's a picture of the fellowship that should characterize the body of Christ. The interconnectedness and the relationships that should define us. Things like love one another, John 13. Give preference to one another. Have the same mind toward one another. Build up one another. Accept one another. Admonish one another. Care for one another. Greet one another. Serve one another. Show tolerance for one another. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted and forgiving towards one another, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, bearing with one another, admonishing, again, comfort one another, encourage one another, build up one another, live in peace with one another, seek good for one another, encourage one another, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, be hospitable to one another. And on we could go. I mean, there's all those things that biblically should define our interaction with others, with other Christians, particularly. Because we share in Christ, we are connected to each other as a part of a family, as a part of the body of Christ, and therefore we should treat each other that way, sharing in common and caring for one another in those ways. So fellowship, that mutual sharing of relationship between believers, should be a priority for all of us who are in Christ. And yet that's difficult to prioritize, isn't it? I want us to think, just practically as we kind of wrap up, on some things that keep us from that. Most of that's not new to you. You know that the church is to be a priority. The local church is to be a priority. The fellowship, the sharing together, the ministry that we're to give one another. Things like this, gathering together and eating a meal and studying God's Word and praying for each other and knowing what's going on in each other's life. And yet it's easy to lose sight of that. I want to give you five things that I think can kind of divert or distract us from fellowship, some of which are just general and some are tied more to this season of life, and then just encourage us to maintain a priority in that. You know, one thing that keeps us from fellowship is sin, breaking fellowship because of sin. Did you notice in 1 John he was talking about how if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another? Now, that's partially because that's what's true of a believer, but it's also true that any sin in our lives leads to broken fellowship with Christ and therefore to broken fellowship with others. It's really hard to have genuine biblical fellowship doing those one another's for each other when I'm living in a pattern of sin. Now, I can invite you over and we can watch a football game, if I'm sinning and you're sinning, and we don't worry about any of the other things that biblically we're to be doing to one another. But if we're trying to encourage each other and pray for each other and exhort each other from the Scriptures and all those kinds of things, and there's a pattern of sin in my life, it severs that fellowship. And so sin in our lives can make it hard to fellowship. Sometimes we don't want to fellowship with others because we know there's things going on in our life that we don't want to get rid of. And we don't want that exposed through our interaction with other believers. Keeps us from that priority of loving the body, of wanting to be with other believers, particularly at an intimate spiritual level. We can also be diverted from fellowship by minimizing it because of what has really become a rampant individualism in our world. You know, we tend to not want to think of ourselves as needing or depending on or having to submit to other people. We like to be our own chief. You know, that is American, that is certainly Texan, and it's sinful in all of us to want to be our own man or woman. And so it's hard to admit we need other people. That there is no Christian who is okay on their own, that God made us to be a part of the body. All those one another's, we need to do those for other people, but you know what else? We need other people to do that for us. Right? None of us are always giving to others and never receiving. We may be an encouragement to somebody one day and the next day, they're an encouragement to us. We may admonish somebody one day and the next day, somebody may admonish us. We may care for somebody one day and the next day, we may be on the receiving end of that. We all need that. And yet it's easy to subtly think we're okay on our own. We don't have to have that. A third diversion from fellowship, and I don't know if I said this very clearly, but is mistaking socialization for fellowship. Meaning all kinds of social activities. Thinking that because we have an active social life, we are fellowshipping. Biblical fellowship is not just hanging out. The Koinonia Center that I played basketball in when I was in fifth grade, there was a lot of things that were not fellowship in there. For example, my basketball games. There's a lot of attitudes and things going on that had nothing to do with fellowship. Now, was it bad to get together and play basketball there? No. But had we fellowshipped? No. You know, we can get together with Christians and do all kinds of things and not be fellowshipping if we're not focused on what ties us together, which is the gospel in Christ. And we're not doing those things that God calls us to do for one another because of the gospel. And so our world, we like social things, but we often don't like to go beyond that to genuine fellowship. You know, that's seen in things like Facebook, the prevalence of that. Why do people love that? Well, they like social interaction, right? And certainly fellowship can take place through mediums like that, but it can be very easy to stay at a surface level with a lot of people and think, oh, we've got these great relationships, but in reality, we're just socializing. We're not fellowshipping. Doesn't mean that has to be the case, but we can think we're doing well when in fact we are just at a surface level. You know, sometimes we can be distracted from fellowship just because we focus on the difficulties of fellowship. You know, especially in our day and age, you know, where we might think, well, the church is so large, it's hard to get to know people. It's great that you are here in a group that's smaller and can build relationships, but it is hard, isn't it? When there's a large church and there's a lot of people and you don't see all the people at the same time, it's easy to say, man, this just isn't working. It's too hard. We're going to throw in the towel and not really care if we build those relationships. You know, or, man, we've got a lot of good friends from outside the church, and we spend a lot of time with them because of other connections or other things that we're involved in. And so it's difficult to make the time for that, or involved in other Christian groups that take us away from those things. And we can subtly slip our thinking away from the priority of gathering with the body of Christ. And then fifthly, something that is dangerous and distracting is to replace fellowship with family. And I want us just to think briefly about this. You know, as I mentioned last week, it's easy to be too focused on your family. Now, that's not everybody's problem. There can be a lot of other things that distract us from the priorities of life besides family. But if we're not careful, in the midst of all of the busyness of life, we can say leave all the things that we want in there and then say, oh, we need to prioritize family. And so the thing that goes is our time investment with other believers, because family is important. Family is important, but it's not exclusive to the relationship with other Christians. There's a book that I enjoy on parenting that talks about how you, if you're a Christian, you have two families. You have your family, your biological family, and you have the family that you are a part of at church. And those are not exclusive to one another, and those are not in competition with one another, but they are both a priority. And we have to keep that balance. It is great to spend time with your family, but don't think that takes the place of time with other believers, of engaging with the church. And again, you guys are here. In some ways, I'm preaching to the choir about things because you are engaging and making an effort to connect. But keep doing that even as your family situation changes and that becomes harder, because it does. And so be devoted to fellowship. I love Acts 2 where it says of the early church, they were continually devoting themselves to things. Continually devoting themselves to fellowship. Is that your attitude towards it? Two questions I put there. Do you view fellowship as essential or as optional in your life? Do you just enjoy it when you get it, or do you prioritize it? Meaning, you know, yeah, we had some time to interact with other Christians, or it worked in our schedule to be a part of some activity, and it was great. We loved that. Hope that happens again. Or do you prioritize it? Now, I certainly understand, and don't hear me saying you have to be at things like this every week. No. But hear me saying we ought to prioritize the relationship that we have with other Christians. That it's not just to be an accident that happens some of the time. If we're going to be devoted to fellowship, we have to be proactive in it. That's number one there. Yes, it doesn't just happen, particularly this season of life. Now, again, a lot happens in this season of life. Kids get sick. You know, there's busyness of things that come up. People travel. I mean, there's a lot of things that are very legitimate reasons why we don't get together. But we need to be proactive so that when those things are not coming into our life, we are making a commitment that we want to gather with other Christians. Particularly on Sundays and worshiping together and making the most of that, but in other things as well. Formal church things, but informally. We want to work hard to initiate fellowship with others. I hope that you'll do that. You know, we've got some time between now and our next meeting, about 4 weeks, which is unusual in our schedule. There's at least a Wednesday or two where we would typically meet, but we're not. Now, some's connected to the holidays. But would you be proactive to say, I'm going to initiate fellowship with another couple or group of couples? Maybe our small group will do something, or maybe our family will just invite another family. And it's not just to hang out, not just to be social, but to intentionally try to get to know them and encourage them in the things of the Lord. Be proactive in that. They were devoted to it corporately and then within their midst. That requires, secondly, that we be creative, because we have young kids. You're not here without young kids, pretty much. And that's hard. It's hard to have time to do stuff. So sometimes that means we got to be creative. It means that this is not elaborate to spend time together. It means we love times like this when we can dump our kids off and we can come and enjoy a brief meal and it's like 20 minutes and it seems like an eternity because we don't have kids with us. And it's great. We can strive for things like that. It may mean, hey, we're just going to go and hang out at a park with somebody, or we're going to try to meet up at a Chick-fil-A and just get a little bit of time where we can visit. It requires intentionality and thinking carefully about, hey, how can we make something like this work to have time with other believers, because that's a priority. And then third, I just encourage you to be thoughtful about it. Don't just do whatever. If you just do whatever, other things will drive your life's priorities. But if you are careful and intentional to say, these are things that are vital for us, we need to do that. Now, being thoughtful doesn't mean you just say, hey, life is all about fellowship now. No, it's not. We've talked about a lot of other things, haven't we? Like evangelism. So how do you balance evangelism and fellowship? Well, if you say, all we're going to do is evangelize, you will spend little time with Christians. If you say, all we're going to do is fellowship, man, we love this idea of fellowship. We love Christians. We need that. We're going to spend all our time with other Christians. And before you know it, we don't know a non-Christian in the world. And we can't evangelize. So there's a balance there. I don't know the answer to that for you. I can wrestle with that for me, being thoughtful to say, these are priorities. How do we balance that? How do you balance family and fellowship? I don't know for you. I know you need time as a dad with just your kids and your wife, and separately and together. But I also know you need time with other believers. How do you balance that? What's that look like? I don't know for sure, but I know you can be thoughtful and carefully think through how that should look for you. How do you balance service and fellowship? You know, man, I want to go to a Sunday school class and just get to enjoy the time with others, but I also want to serve. How do I balance that? I don't know the answer for you. I don't know what that looks like, but I know if you just kind of go through life doing whatever, you will be out of balance. But if you think carefully, how should these priorities be reflected in my life? God will give you the grace and wisdom to apply them in different seasons of life. And it looks different at different times. And that's okay. That's why it's not a cookie cutter that says this is what all of our life should look like at every stage. No, it's more difficult than that, isn't it? God wants you to love other believers, to love your family, to love serving, to love sharing the gospel, and to wrestle with how should I live now in light of all those things. So fellowship is a priority. It's essential. It doesn't just happen. We need to be careful how we're interacting. And I think the biggest challenge for us is to be intentional about doing that whole list of one another's to one another. To not just say we're going to get together, but we're trying to build up one another and encourage one another and pray for one another and be real with one another about what's going on in our lives, so that we can genuinely be stimulating one another to love and good deeds and be encouraging each other not to be giving in to sin and be praying for each other. And that's one of the hopes of a group like this and of a church as a whole, is to have those kind of relationships. But it does take work, and it takes being proactive to initiate that and to reach out and to make that a priority in our lives. So let me pray for us, and then I'll just read our groups. We can get in them briefly and chat a little bit, and then we'll be done. Lord, we're thankful that we can think a little bit about these essentials, and Lord, we know that we're a bit rushed tonight because of having the Hines here, and yet we're thankful for that time with them. And just pray that you would help us to think carefully about the priority of fellowship, of spending time sharing together with other believers because of our common fellowship in Christ. Lord, we are part of a family. We are part of a body. We cannot choose to distance ourselves or separate ourselves without harming the entire body or the entire family. And I pray that each of us would be careful to invest in one another in these ways. Keep us from the distractions of that, the disruptions that can sidetrack us from being committed to the body of Christ. And we thank you for our church, for the opportunities for fellowship like this, for the play dates on Friday mornings, for the times on Sunday mornings of worshiping together and interacting and times to serve together. And just pray that we would have wisdom to lead our families to be involved in those things, that we would balance that with whatever season of life we're in, but that you would give us the grace to do that. And we thank you and we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.